All right, family and friends, I hope you all are doing absolutely well. It's Monday, which means it's Marvelous Monday, and I hope that each and every one of you have made it a marvelous day. We're here. This is the Sunday Morning Crew, Sunday Morning Breakfast Crew, and we are on the line to just share in another amazing call on how to be happy. We've been talking about this all week, and we were hit with some true, awesome, golden points that left us last night being reminded that, first of all, happiness is ultimately measured by our relationship with God. And that's just the absolute truth in which we are to operate and to focus our happiness on, is that relationship, first and foremost. We put it in God's hands, all things will come. So let's get started. We're excited to be here Monday Night Live. Let's get it going with our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening, Ms. Yan.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
I'm great, thank you.
Good deal. So I do welcome everybody on tonight's call, Monday Night Live. We will be on Facebook here shortly. But prior to doing so, what we're going to do is open up with prayer, and then we'll get started with the call. So, Ms. Tiana, if you don't mind opening us up, please.
Let's do this. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this life that you've given us and this opportunity to rise again, to enjoy you and all that you send our way. Heavenly Father, as we walk through this day, this Monday, this marvelous Monday, may we walk in that excitement, that joy that you have given us this life and this opportunity to fulfill on your purpose. As we go forward on the call this evening, dear Lord, may we do so with open hearts and open minds to receive all that you have to share with us tonight. So let's go forward. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So with that being said, is Mr. DJ here yet, Ms. Tiana?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, Mr. DJ?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Going wonderful, man. I see you had some things going on this weekend with the Battle of the Bands.
Oh, yeah. We had a Battle of the Bands alumni cookout. Everybody that marched in the band from 2011 on back to, I believe the oldest guy was like 1954.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So it was a blessing.
Yeah.
All right, now. Well, that's a good deal. So, and if y'all didn't know, Mr. DJ does, tell them about the Battle of the Bands. Where is it located?
I'm the CEO of the Battle of the Bands events. We do them all over the country. I do 5 to 7 of them a year. We've been to some everywhere. We've been in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Atlanta, everywhere.
Okay. Y'all, it's real nice. It's for the high schools. And they get it on.
Yeah. We do cottages once a year.
Yeah. So with that being said, Mr. DJ, this topic right here, we've been talking about, you know, what it is to be happy, how to be happy. It is an art.
Okay? Yes,
it's not just in this automatic. It's an art to being happy. It's fixation. You have to fixate your mind on something to stay there. So tell us what you got for this topic.
This topic this week, and I get excited talking about this because I've even had someone to ask me, why are you always happy? Why are you always smiling? And I would simply tell them, it's the God in me. I loved that song when it came out. It's the God in me. Happiness is opinionated amongst us. Example, to a pig, you give him some mud, he's going to be just as happy as I don't know what. A pig loves slop. A pig loves mud. You think you're doing the pig justice by cleaning him up, but you're making him mad. He going to go right back out there and get in the mud. Just like to an alcoholic, a bottle is going to make him happy. To a gambler, money is going to make him happy. So the question is, what's going to make you happy? What's your hang-up? Happiness, opinionated, is temporal, which means it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
When my Falcons score a touchdown, I'm happy, yes. Then by fourth quarter, especially if we lose, I'm mad. I'm just saying, you know, everybody has their point as to what makes them happy. But true happiness, when I say true, I mean internal. I mean something that you cannot dispute, something you cannot refute. What is for you is for you. And that comes from God. You don't understand what makes people true happiness. Only God knows that. And God can make you happy. And when he makes you happy, that's a joy the world didn't get to you, and it can't take it away. The best things in life, people tell me, are free. That's God's unchanging hand. One thing about God, his track record is undisputed. He's undefeated. When is the last time God created something that tore up? Everything that man makes eventually is going to tear up. I don't care how good it is, it's going to have an expiration date. God's love doesn't have an expiration date. Let that marinate. So when he makes you happy, when you think about things, especially if it's something that people think you should be sad about, well, man, it's raining. Okay, but a farmer somewhere is happy because he's growing his crops. Lots of things people may say, well, man, you know, you so happy, but you don't have no money. You have your health and your strength. For somebody who's been separated from their family or kids, they got them. So what I'm trying to tell you is only true happiness comes from God. You hold on to God's unchanging hand, and he'll put a joy in you that you will never believe. And that's how you know that's true happiness, because people won't understand it. That's between you and the Lord. They're going to ask you, why are you so happy? If you ever had somebody ask you, why are you so happy? For real says happiness is a room without a roof. Mm-hmm. There's several examples of happiness, but I'm just saying, you know, what God gives to you, it is for you. And I'm not talking about when you're just in need, neither. I'm just saying the things that satisfy the heart. And like we spoke on before, the mind. When God gives that to you and gives you a gift, he doesn't sit up here and take it back. He's not an Indian giver, as people would say. And his gifts, like I said, they don't expire. You don't need no batteries. You know, when you get certain gifts, example, you go to the circus and see all this stuff that lights up, it's only good for when? Till you get home. And then it don't work no more. God's gifts are not like that. So just think about the greater that he is, because he's awesome. And that's the kind of joy we need to seek when we're seeking to be happy. When you have a mindset as to only put those things that God gives you on the quote-unquote top shelf, your list of happiness, I guarantee you they'll still be up there. Everything else going to eventually fall off the shelf. You might want it again. If you get it, it's temporary. But when God gives you something, that's it. So just think about that and be blessed. Like I said, that song, God's Unchanging Hand, for those of you who know what I'm talking about when I say true happiness, when you know that you don't have but a certain amount of money in the bank and all of a sudden they tell you your bills are already paid. And you can't even explain how. Well, you know that gas hand is getting ready to be on E, and you know the car's going to cut off, and you done made it to the gas station. See, that may sound foreign to you, because obviously you don't understand what holding on to God's changing, unchanging hand is. Having faith and having him, you know, put some joy in you. That's a well that's so deep you will never see the bottom of it. That's all I have.
Yes, sir. God's unchanging hand is real.
Yeah. So with that being said, y'all go ahead and log on to live. We're now on live. Okay. Again, we're talking about how to be happy. That again, how to be happy. Being happy is an art form. It's not a given. It's an art form. It's where you set yourself up to be. It's where you set your mind to be. Okay. An art to this. All right? So y'all got it?
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen.
All right. So I see everybody on there. Oh, they didn't change the format on Facebook Live?
Always updating.
Okay. How you doing, Miss Juanita and Miss Tiana is on now. Rachelle, what's going on? Cousin Miss Tamika, how are you? Okay, Miss Karen, how you doing? Okay, y'all, tonight we're talking about how to be happy. And I know that sounds very cliche-ish that says, that's easy, okay? But in reality, it's not so easy, especially, you know, we'll say, well, this world that I live in, it didn't give me my happiness, so it can't take my happiness away. We say that a lot.
Mm.
Up until life throws us a curveball. So how you doing, Miss Latonya, Miss Yolanda, Miss Marcia, Miss Alicia? How are you, Miss Shiren? Okay. So, you know, this is very – how you doing, cuz? We haven't seen you in a while. Glad you're back. How you doing, Miss Tonya? Okay. And Miss Banks, how are you? Okay. So, y'all, how to be happy. It's an art form. Okay. It's an art form. And you have to practice that art. So, with that being said – let's get to our first email question. Miss Tiana, what we got?
Sure. The first question that came across is, are there ways to be happy? Are there steps that we should take to be in that place with God?
Okay. How you doing, Miss Katina, Miss Brenda? How are you? So the question is, are there ways to be happy, steps to get to that place in God? What you got, Mr. DJ?
Well, I always say, birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
If you are wanting to be happy, why would you surround yourself with negative people? Why would you surround yourself with people who are miserable and always complain? If you're in the business of uplifting God, surround yourself with others that uplift God as well. If you are faith-driven, then surround yourself with people that are also faith-driven.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How you doing, Ms. Reva and Ms. Faith, Ms. Lori? The question, y'all, is, are there ways to be happy, steps to get to that place in God? Okay? It's steps to everything. It's levels to everything. Okay? But I don't want to sound like a broken record because a lot of times we're always looking for 5 steps to get closer to God, 6 steps to become rich, you know, 10 steps to enter into a relationship. But see, happiness is clearly defined by where you lie your faith, where you lie your trust, where you put your heart. Where is your treasure? Wherever your treasure is, there so shall your heart be. In other words, where your treasure is where it's going to hold your happiness. If your treasure is in material things, your happiness will be found in material things. In other words, you have the best boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife. You have the best kids when you get material things. However, when your happiness is in God, you'll understand that material things no longer matter. Now, some people are saying, but hold on, ain't nothing wrong with it, but tell me what's right with it, because you can't take it with you. So how happy would you be if everything is left behind and you're only going to one place, heaven or hell? So where's happiness?
Come on.
You didn't bring it in the world, you can't take it out the world. So that means our happiness would be left on earth. But I thought the Bible said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. In other words, our happiness should go with us.
Yeah.
In other words, happiness, y'all catch this, should never be found in material things.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Y'all missing what I'm saying, Mr. DJ. It's about to get deep.
All right.
How happy would you be? Come on, how you doing, Ms. Renina and Ms. Hunt? How happy would you be if your happiness is in your children? Hypothetically speaking, don't get mad at me, but hypothetically speaking, what if you went to heaven and your kids went to hell? Are you now sad? Are you mad?
Come on.
Can we even think that? Think that far now. The Bible clearly says heaven is a place of peace and joy. Those who are in heaven will never be sad about anything. Therefore, if I'm to live on earth as I should live in heaven, my happiness is not in individuals. My happiness is not even how I see myself. My happiness is not in my degrees and what I deem to be successful. My happiness is founded and formed and maintained in God, period, because he would never change.
That's right.
Just so happens, we are creatures of, we change. Yeah, we change a lot. How you doing, Ms. Hope, Ms. Deborah? Y'all follow me?
Yes.
All right. So the question is, Are there ways to be happy? Yes, there is a way to be happy. It's a lot of ways to be happy. It's called He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's only one way to the Father, and it's through the Son. The way to be happy is to look at Jesus' lifestyle and duplicate it, point blank, period. But before you look at the lifestyle, check out his mindset. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. In other words, we can look at his lifestyle but never walk the path that he walks because our mind, see, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more prevalent to God than a changed mind. Boy, when that mind changes, watch your happiness change. In other words, the world can't try and hit you a certain way because even when it hits you, you know how to turn the other cheek because my happiness is not found in how hard you hit me or me retaliating to get back at you. My happiness is found in the word of God, meaning that I know what you're trying to do, but I'm not going to lose my position.
Amen.
You follow me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. How you doing, Miss Kim and Brian? What's going on? Yeah, we can get to it. What'd you say, cuz? She said, the word of God make me happy because it gives me something to look forward to because of God's promises. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. How you doing, Miss Reva? So that's right. All right. So how to be happy? Absolutely, there are steps and there's ways to being happy. But at the end of the day, your happiness, don't try and find this methodical thing that says step one, two, and three to be happy. Find that one thing, and that's actually having a developed mind and a relationship with God. In other words, change your mind, change your life, and change your happiness. Follow me?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it. Next question, how you doing, Ms. Keisha? What's going on, PJ? Okay, the question we had, I see we had a question from, who is this, Miss Shiren?
It did okay. All come through. She's going to resend, sir.
Okay, Miss Shiren, you need to resend that to us? Okay. Miss Tiana, what was our next question?
Sure. As a child, I did not see happiness at church. From miserable women on the usher board to unpleasant folks on the finance committee and an angry choir director, how do we change the image of leaders in the church for our young ones?
Okay, the question is, as a child, I did not see happiness at my church. From miserable women on the usher board to unpleasant folks in the finance committee and the angry choir director. Okay, how do we change the image of leaders in the church for our young ones? Mr. DJ, what you got?
Well, it begins with yourself. You must speak up and go to your brother or your sister in love. And you can't get them all at one time, but slowly you need to get like-minded people and gradually replace those people. Sometimes you have to know how, show how. I mean, you know, sometimes it's a thing of maturity, but oftentimes you're correct. A lot of people, I was a church musician.
Okay.
And, you know, I that was the worst but happiest time of my life because I love playing for the Lord, but at the same time, you have so many people who think they know how to sing or play an instrument and not really paying attention to you because you're stressed. It's so bad the way it interferes with your worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's like you can never please pastor. You know, you tell pastor, I got a headache, strep throat, broke finger. His answer's going to be, come on, I got to have you today. We'll pray about it. You know, mm-hmm. You know, so you start finding out the entertainment side is different. Once you on the other side of that book board or the pulpit, if you will, your expectations of worshiping are a little different than just being a regular worshiper.
Okay.
You know, my pastor band director used to always tell me, you're a student. You're in the best position possible. When you step on the other side of this desk, there's a different responsibility than being on that side of the desk. And that's
okay.
The same thing when it comes to
teaching. Let me get that right quick, Mr. DJ. Hold on one second. So the question is, how do we change the image of the leaders in the church for our young ones? What's going on, Coach Bowden and Ms. Courtney? How are you, Ms. Sharon, Ms. Jennifer, Ms. Tudor, and Ms. Tillett? Now, here's the thing. The question says, how do we change the image of our leaders in the church for our young ones? In other words, we're saying that our leaders should show our young ones what happiness is all about. But that's absolutely incorrect because leadership starts at home. If we want to change the image before our little ones, our young ones, shouldn't church them from home? In other words, we got to practice being happy at home. What sense does it make? Come on, kids. What sense, parents? What sense does it make to be loving out in public, but then you get right in the car and talk about the person you just hugged? Now, you know that's a bad example as a leader. So now what we're doing is we're systematically creating a demon, a problem. We're systematically creating a false happiness. In other words, that says you can hug people in front of their face, but behind their back, that's not happiness. You know, that's not true happiness, and that's poor leadership, as a matter of fact. Happiness should stem and start at home first.
Amen.
As a leader, husbands and wives and husbands, what is wrong with us loving on one another before the children, the little ones, showing them what happily being married is all about? So now the kids got to conform, and they got to go to internet or social media to find what relationship goals is about. I thought that as kids, the parents should be teaching what relationship goals is about, because mama and daddy still flirt with each other. Mama and daddy still go on dates. Mama and daddy, we've never seen them argue or fuss in front of us, because they always, for some reason, they happy. They just get along. So we depending on our church leaders, but I thought we was the church leaders at home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought church, real church, started at home. So why are you waiting on your pastor, your deacon, your usher, come on now, to be
right.
The leader? How can somebody outside your house be the leader inside your house? I thought the husband was the head of the household, so why isn't he the pastor? I thought that mama should be his right hand woman. I thought that she should be the arm of back. So what's going on at the house?
All right.
What's going on, Mr. John Graham, Ms. Arlene, Danielle? How are you doing? Okay, Ms. Daphne? All right? Because in reality, y'all, happiness is defined by this. It's contentment, it's laughter, and it's being glad. Okay? So when we say how to be happy, it starts with us. Point blank, period. Is our relationship with God good? And can we really sustain happiness through the storms of life? Can we sustain it?
All right, now.
Can we sustain it? Because true happiness should stand the test of time. In other words, if you are happy today and tomorrow you're not happy, what is it that caused you not to be happy? In other words, if you got God and you say God was all you need, Mr. DJ, if we say God is all we need and you still got God, why is it that you're not happy? See, that means somebody lied. Because if I got everything that I need, good or bad, I'm always going to be happy. So in other words, when I got God, that somebody, they asked me the other day, why is it that you always have the same energy? Because when you got the same God, what should change? That means the world does not change my happiness. Outside circumstances don't change my happiness. Even in the world of sports, yes, we lost the game, but the fact of the matter is I still got my peace of mind. I still have my relationship with God. It's a game, but this is called life. So in other words, that's money. That's a scholarship. That is a name. That's a title. That's a job. But as long as I got my God, my happiness will always remain.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Okay. So let's get to it. Ms. Sharon, is Ms. Sharon or Ms. Tiana, what's the next question real quickly?
Sure. Let's grab another question here. I have high expectations of my children, and they keep disappointing me. Will I ever be happy with them?
Mr. DJ, real quickly, what you got?
Will you ever be happy with them? Your children are going to let you down. I mean, they're going to do that. That's part of them being human. I mean, true happiness comes from God. If you plant the seed, they say they shouldn't part far from it, but you're going to be unhappy. They're not going to be perfect. I'm pretty sure they're unhappy with you at times. So, you know, don't dwell on that. What you need to do is make sure you stay planted and deal with them and teach them how to truly be happy and what true happiness is.
Okay. Repeat that question, Ms. Tiana. I don't see it on the screen.
Oh, yes. I have high expectations of my children, and they keep disappointing me. Will I ever be happy with them?
Well, here's the thing. You know, those are open-ended questions, y'all, that gets tricky. Because that's almost like asking a medium, asking when people go to those palm readers and stuff like that, will I ever? I don't know what you will be. I don't know. However, let me address some other stuff. What you said, Ms. Tiana, repeat the question that I still don't see it on the screen.
Yeah, I just reposted it, sir.
Okay, what does it say?
I have high expectations of my children, and they keep disappointing me. Will I ever be happy with them?
So if your expectations are high, but your children keep disappointing you, will you ever be happy with them? Of course. See, what happens is, as long as you're walking in the light and the guidance of God, it's okay. You understand the Bible says we should make room for one another's errors. So my question then to you as a parent, will you ever or would God ever be happy with you?
All right now.
We have to make room for one another's errors. Okay? You understand that they are children. And the Bible says to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. In other words, let me help us out right quick. Okay? To train means to expect a little disappointment. Expect for some people to be a little slowful and slow to get to the point. But the thing is, you got to train them and understand the fact that you didn't get it all overnight. Okay? So why would I not be happy? I'm happy when they take one step forward. They're getting better. They're getting better. They're getting better. Your expectations should remain high, much like God's expectations remain high with and for us. However, is God ever not pleased with us? Of course, there's many times he's not pleased with us, but that does not ultimately change his happiness. Because if God knows the ending from the beginning, if he wasn't going to be happy with us, he would have never created mankind. That means we'd have never had an opportunity to even make him happy. But the fact of the matter is we can make him happy. Now it becomes a choice. Much like your children. When you train your child in the way that they should go, when they are older, they would not depart from it. It didn't say that they wouldn't stumble. It didn't say that they wouldn't fail and fall. But the fact of the matter is you can be happy in knowing what you have instilled in them that they'll get back on track. Now, you got to make sure your expectations cannot supersede God's expectations. In other words, your expectations should never be that I want them to be a doctor or a lawyer, because you're always disappointed. Because if that child is to ever find God, you will be disappointed greatly, because they'll scooch your expectation to the side and follow the expectation of God. Make sure your expectation lines up with God's expectations, and watch when he smiles, you should smile too. How about that?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. How you doing, Ms. Robin and Ms. Lavina, Ms. Sarah, Ms. Angela, Ms. Natty, Ms. Hazel? Okay, how are you, Ms. Bethany and Ms. Linnell? So let us move forward. Now, here's our next email question. I can't see if somebody's typing anything. I mean, little's not letting me see anything, but okay. Let me just read it. The question is, how can anyone be happy with taking a loss? Again.
Okay.
How can anyone be happy with taking a loss, Mr. DJ?
It depends on the type of loss. If it comes from God, you should be happy. I mean, if it's something that preventing someone from suffering, then that's how you should be happy.
Mm-hmm.
There are several types of losses. There's several types of losses. If you're given an overabundance of something harmful, then a loss will definitely be make you happy. So that's what I'm saying. You know, if it comes from God, then yes, definitely you should be happy. And then sometimes you take a loss as a learning curve, as what not to do, or for future, when that comes back up, you'll know what not to do.
Okay. So how can anyone be happy with the loss? Was the question. What's going on, Miss Tiffany and Miss, who is that, Miss Busy? Okay. So the question is, how can anyone be happy with the loss? Simply, because the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, and man is not gender-specific, meaning human, male or female, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. In other words, along my path, if I should happen to take a loss, I'm always happy, because who said that it would be easy?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I can be happy is because the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. In other words, I can be happy even in the loss. Not everybody would understand this. And you know the Bible clearly says it, that the things of God, the people in the world don't understand. That means those who are outside of the will of God, those who are outside of the life, the bloodline, the relationship of God would never understand his ways. See, some call it as a loss. Well, God says that it's a great blessing.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
That's true.
Y'all know that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw a scripture out there right quick. Okay? Let's look at Philippians 1 and 21. Philippians 1 and 21. Can somebody read that? Real quickly now. Philippians 1 and 21.
Yes. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen.
Y'all see it? Some look at the loss of a loved one as a downward slope. But think about this. Had Jesus never died, then what? Are you happy today because of that?
Come on.
Let me say it again. Are you happy because Jesus died?
Grateful for that gift. Yes.
Actually, are you happy?
Yes, sir.
I'm very happy because without it, what opportunity will we have to see God?
Amen.
He was a sacrifice. He was the perfect lamb. He was our burnt offering. Y'all know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So if that's the life of Jesus and we're happy, just because we are in this embryonic baby state, the loss is still that God is in control. So why would we be sad? Shouldn't we be happy that God decided to do what he did?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't understand, it's because we operate by faith. In other words, true happiness does not require that we understand what's going on, people. Man.
Amen.
Let me say it again. True happiness does not require that we understand. Now, see, let me break it down. A child don't know nothing about the dentist. As a matter of fact, they can't stand the dentist, right? But see, because they don't understand, should that child be disappointed that mom or daddy took them to the dentist where somebody's drilling on their mouth? But see, just because they don't understand, baby, you'll get it as you mature. You'll be happy in the long run that I put braces in your mouth. Because see, true happiness does not require. If a child don't understand, but see, the adult does, and we know that in the long run it's going to make them happy and they're going to be thankful, shouldn't we also follow suit? Just because there's a loss of a loved one, do you not understand that God is in control? Now, if you're sad, it should be only that you're sad that they weren't living the life of God and he took them at that time. But don't get mad at God because you knew God, and why didn't you introduce happiness, God, to them?
Amen.
So just because we don't understand don't mean that we shouldn't be happy. See, the Bible said, faith, without it is impossible to please God. Faith says, I don't need to understand it. I don't even need to see it. I just know who's in control of it. And therefore, I'm happy. See, Job didn't understand. You understand that, I'm talking about happiness, people. You do understand that Satan, was walking to and fro. And God called him and said, have you tried my faithful servant, Job? See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, just because Job wasn't smiling don't mean that Job wasn't happy. Because if he wasn't happy, watch this. If he wasn't content, watch this. If he wasn't glad, watch this. If he wasn't filled with inner laughter, then he would have gave up the beast. In other words, he would have listened to his wife and took an L. In other words, his wife said, curse God and die. But Job said, hush, silly woman, I'm happy already. Just because something happened to my cattle, just because something happened to my house, just because something happened to my physical body, just because my kids are no longer here, I refuse to let go of God. I'm content with who I have in him. So.
Amen.
Now, there was a meeting between Satan and God. Job knew nothing about the meeting. But Job's happiness was tested by God. Tempted by Satan. Watch this now. Job didn't know, but y'all do know that he remained happy. Because if he wasn't happy, he would have let it all go. He would have got sick. He would have stopped eating. because everything around him was crumbling. But see, Job's happiness was never in items. So in other words, when my happiness is not in things, when my happiness is not in people, when my happiness is not in status, Satan, you can't touch me. Because the Bible says, God told Satan, you can touch anything, but you can't touch his soul. See how they go? But look at what God said. He said, have you tried my faithful servant Job? In other words, I'm going to send you to the most, I'm going to send you, Satan, on the most notorious assignment to date. I'm going to send you to a faithful person. In other words, one who's happy and content with me, not the things that I gave them.
Amen.
Try to help somebody out. Because, see, what we start to do is we praise and we worship God based on the tangible items. We say after we get the car, after we get the job, after we have the child, after we get the ring, after we get the wife, after we get the raise, after we get the title, after my baby graduates, then we say, ain't God good? Well, God was good before that. It never takes a car. Because if that be the case, if God is only good when you get something, what about the people who never had nothing? What about Jesus? Because he didn't have a place to lay his head. So how good was God to him? And I do believe that Jesus was always happy.
That's right.
Y'all can be quiet if you want to. Because see, here's the thing. When it really resonates, I don't need to say amen now. When it really, really resonates and you really have a true relationship with God, you understand what I'm talking about. It don't take things to make you happy. See, when people really love you, they don't want you to buy them candy for Valentine's Day. They want to see you and love on you every day in spite of Valentine's Day. Because I don't need the ring. I don't need the clothes. I don't even need the love letters. I just need the time spent. See, somebody don't understand what true happiness is all about. This is why they keep on going back to square one in disappointment. Because we wait on things and not wait on God.
Come on.
Amen. I know it's some people here because we don't know what happiness is. And we see, I'm challenging that mentality of happiness is this person hanging with this group of people. Having, you know, I know how to speak five different languages. I have the best of the best jobs. But the Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, happiness is not about that. Because if God was to ever strip it from you, how happy would you be?
Come on.
Ain't that something?
It is.
Huh? All right. Next question. How you doing, Annie and Dana? Dana, Miss Dana, Miss Sandra, Miss Renita, and Andrea, and Miss Lasanta, and Miss Chanel, and Miss Rhonda, and Miss Takesha, and Miss Etta, Miss Alicia, Miss Tiffany. Okay. Here's the next question. Do you have to be in God, Mr. DJ, to be happy? Do you have to be in God to be happy?
True happiness comes from God, so I'm going to say yes. You might think you're happy, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Miss Tiana, do you have to be in God to be happy?
Absolutely. There's no other way.
Okay. And I'm a challenge both of those theories. Absolutely not. You can be outside of God and be happy. It's going to be limited, but you can be happy.
Right. That's why I said true happiness.
But we don't want to define it that way. I understand where you're going with it. I'm saying because, see, some people don't understand because some people's definition of true happiness is subjective.
That's true.
Okay. Do you have to be in God to be happy? Absolutely not. You can be outside of God and be happy, but only for a moment.
Huh? And that's from an emotional standpoint, right?
I'm sorry?
That's from an emotional standpoint, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But even from a spiritual standpoint, the Bible said that love does not rejoice in the wrong, but rejoices in the right. Even from the spiritual standpoint, if people are happy in spiritual downfall.
Okay.
I'm just trying to set this off because we're trying to be diggly. Catch what I'm saying. Okay. You can be spiritually led by Satan and happy with people's downfall. Remember, misery, L-O-V-E-S, love company. Happy.
True.
Absolutely, you can be outside of God and be happy. Do understand that there's two of everything. There's a heaven and an earth. There's a heavenly love. There's an earthly love. There's a heavenly happiness, and there's a natural happiness. A lot of times we confuse the natural with the spiritual. But God provokes us and tries to teach us, so therefore he tests us how not to hinge our future on natural items. You do understand that people can be happy outside of God, hence when they get and gain success and it starts to grow, that's why they never go conform nor dwell in God's kingdom. Because it's not, remember the Bible says that he came for the sick, not the whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole means they already think they're complete. In other words, if I got it going on, what do I need of this God of yours? People can be happy outside of God. Absolutely. Now, how long will it last is a bigger question.
All right.
It very well may last them a lifetime, whether you know it or not. It may last them a lifetime. However, it will never last them in eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
People can be happy all their life and go straight to hell, but it will never last them in eternity. Eternity says after your life, it's forevermore. So do you have to be in God to be happy? Absolutely not. You can find your happiness in things, but that don't mean those things will last forever. All right?
Okay.
All right, next question. How you doing, Ms. Monique? The next question that I have is the devil ever happy? Mr. DJ, what you got?
I believe he's happy, but he's never satisfied.
Ooh. That's strong there.
I believe he, since his type of happiness is short-lived, oh, he's happy all the time.
That's right.
But it's not satisfied, though.
Boy, that's great. Ooh, that's great, Mr. DJ. Y'all, listen to what Mr. DJ said. The question is the devil ever happy? Mr. DJ said, the devil is happy, but he's never satisfied. That's perfect, Mr. DJ, because the definition of happiness, a part of it, is being content. Ooh-wee. So godly happiness is when you're content. A natural happiness is that I'm never satisfied. Y'all don't hear me. Watch this now. Why do you think so many people bounce from this one to that one to that one to that one? Because they're not happy. If you was happy with the man you had, if you was happy with the woman you had, why then do you go to the next best thing? That should never be. If you don't do it, somebody else will. That should never be the spark that gets people going. See, if somebody ever tells you that, listen to me and listen to me good. I'm talking about, you know, how to be happy. If somebody ever says, hey, if you won't do it, somebody else will, leave them alone.
Okay.
Let me say this again. If somebody ever listens to me, if somebody ever tells you, if you say it, you're wrong for that. Because watch what I'm about to go with this. I'm going to show you what I mean you're wrong. How to be happy. If somebody ever tells you, if you won't do it, somebody else will, I know somebody's saying, well, Mr. Carr, that is the truth. Now, watch this. Now, if it's a lie, God would never say it. If it's a truth, God, when does God say, if you won't do right, I'll find somebody else to replace you?
He wouldn't.
He wouldn't, right? See,
right.
Happiness, real happiness, heavenly happiness says, I know that's my soulmate. I don't want nobody else. In other words, regardless of how wrong they do, I know God has them for me and me for them. Just like God created you, he has given you time and time and time again to get it right. Hence, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Even in your wrongdoing, you have an opportunity to get it right. See, if somebody ever tells you, if you don't do it, somebody else will, leave that demon alone. Because all they're trying to do is provoke you to please their expectations and not the expectations that God have of you. In other words, they want to become your God. My goodness.
Mm.
Lord have mercy. I'm going to say it again.
Yes, indeed.
I can't see what people type in Miss Tiana. You got to tell me. If they ever tell you that, hey, if you don't do it, somebody else will, leave them alone. Leave them alone because they're trying to make your happiness, found under their rule, their tutelage, their governing. In other words, they want to be the head chief in your life. If I can tell you how high to jump and you jump, that means that I got control over you. In other words, they're tempting you. They're trying to listen what they're saying. If you don't do it, somebody else won't want you. Well, somebody else better want you, because if it's a soulmate involved, you should never have those desires to even think outside of me anyways. My God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. See, and this is how you know people are not truly happy with God. Because watch this. Watch what I'm about to tell you. See, God don't do everything for them. I guess this is why they also had that same sentiment with God that says, God, if you won't do it, well, the world or Satan will. That's why they live in the world, because God don't walk by the beat of their drum. God don't give them everything they want either.
That's true.
I thought that we were trying to be happy together. I thought that true happiness came by not what you did or what you can provide, but what we can do together.
Yeah.
So if somebody's giving you an ultimatum, if they're telling you, in other words, I got options, tell them, which one am I, A, B, or C? Look, if you got options, go ahead and get the other ones, because I don't want to be a part of that little game no more. Because if I'm not your only option, it would never be, because I'm going to be happy without you. See how that goes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't let people make you an option, though. Ah, what's going on, Miss Ebony and Miss Yolanda? Don't let them make you happy. How you doing, Miss Stephanie? Y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right. What's the next question?
We have some folks who wanted to share, is the devil ever happy? Ms. LaTanya shared, especially when we conform to his ways. Ms. Jennifer wrote, yes, when he makes people miserable. She also shared that Satan's happiness for us is keeping us at our lowest point in life.
Correct.
So, yes. There we go.
All right. What's the next email question, Ms. Tiana?
Sure. Next email question comes from Ms. LaTanya and states, posting it here for everyone to see, giving of my time and resources to help others makes me very happy. How do I know if what I do is appreciated? As I've learned that I should have high expectations, and many who I have helped seem to take my kindness for granted.
Hey, Mr. DJ, real quickly, what you got?
You got to have faith, simply put. The same faith that you put into the Lord, you have to put that faith out there and trust what you're doing is correctly and in God, and that it's spiritually growing, that it's also helping, let it manifest.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Tiana, read that question for me one more time, please.
Sure. Giving of my time and resources to help others makes me very happy. How do I know if what I do is appreciated? As I have learned that I should have high expectations, and many who I have helped seem to take my kindness for granted.
For one, let me break that down. True happiness, y'all. We're talking about how to be happy. Number one, now you're becoming your own God. The Bible says, put no other gods before me. Now, here's the thing. What if you cannot or you're not in a position to give? Now you'll never be happy.
Come on.
You said giving makes me happy. What if God told you to stop giving? And yes, he can do that. And yes, he will do that if he so chooses to.
Amen.
So if giving makes you happy, you just started off all wrong in the first place. Because some things God, he purposely delays and he doesn't give. God has everything to give. That don't mean that he will give it to everybody and when they want it.
That's the truth.
If happiness is not found in the relationship with God, it's not right in the first place. Read that question again, Ms. Tiana.
Giving of my time and resources to help others makes me very happy? How do I know if what I do is appreciated? As I have learned that those that I should have high expectations, and many who I help seem to take my kindness for granted.
Do we take God's kindness for granted? Number one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Mm-hmm. Hold on, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, watch this. We take God's kindness for granted, but we don't, hey, but we say, God, know my heart. Okay. And then I start to have high expectations, so how do I know? In other words, we want applause. We want fanfare. We want pats on the back to say that somebody, some people show their appreciation and stuff down the line, and you would never, ever, ever know. When it's true happiness, that means I've sown the seed. Sometimes I don't even watch if it grows. Hello.
Come on.
In other words, Mr. DJ, when I have true happiness, if I give up myself, my time, or anything that is expendable to you, I'm not waiting on your congratulations, your thank you. I'm just giving it to you because God told me to do it. So I'm happy regardless because I'm happy that he put me on assignment and that I'm in a position to help. You follow me? So I would never... my happiness would never be contingent upon whether Mr. DJ say thank you or not.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
In other words, watch this. The Bible says, do not be like heathens, because they are the ones who go and give to the poor and ring a bell so everybody can hear. They want fanfare. They want everybody to know, hey, y'all, I got a bottle of water. Look at who I'm giving it to. Here you go. No, that is not real happiness. Real happiness is found in the fact that I can give you water, and, hey, there it is. See, when you want credit for giving somebody something, that means you have taken the power and the glory away from God, because what I gave is what God gave me to give to you. So I'm just the middleman in the first place. I'm stealing glory away from God when I want people to pat me on my back. Now what? So our happiness is because we want applause and fanfare, as if we did something. You didn't do nothing that God didn't give or instill in you to do. So God should get the glory for everything. Oh, God do get the glory, Mr. Carr, and they roll their eyes. Well, if God get the glory, why are you getting mad when people don't tell you thank you? Nah.
Right.
All I say is between you and God, I'm only on assignment. Have a nice day, because I'm happy regardless. I only did what God told me to do. You know, when people say, hey, I don't loan people money. If I have it, I give it. Exactly. I give what God told me to give. As a matter of fact, I set it on your doorstep and leave. You never knew that I gave it to you in the first place. They'll say, oh, that's a miracle. And I'll be laughing and saying, I'm happy. It is. See?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, who gave you that bottle of water? Ain't that good? Yeah, no, it never come from me. It only came into my hand. God, some people don't understand what happiness is about.
Yeah.
Huh? That's why what happens, Mr. DJ, is a lot of times compromised, because we be trying to take away glory from God. We want people to tell us thank you. How you want people to tell you thank you and you be happy when you never told God thank you? And I ain't talking about God thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about live a life of happiness. Show God that you appreciate him. How you show God you appreciate him? Live and obey everything that he told you to live and obey. That's appreciation.
Amen. Nah. Amen.
Nah. I ain't guess so. Talking about happiness. How you doing, Miss Tabitha, Miss Tamika? What we got, Miss Tiana?
Miss Jennifer just wanted to share that you should not expect appreciation from people. You should expect it from God.
All right.
And we have our next question from Miss Sharon, which states, is there a difference between happiness and excitement?
The DJ, is there a difference between happiness and excitement?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. You can be excited and not be happy. Definitely be excited. I'm trying to sit here now thinking of examples of excitement.
I'll give you one. That's my brother, y'all. DJ, my brother. He normally come up with all these little, you know, ad-libs and these little metaphors and similes and all that stuff. As Mr. DJ said, a drunk man needs a bottle, so he happy. So, cool. Check this out. Happiness and excitement. Happiness is the marathon runner. Excitement is the sprinter. One of them gets tired while the other one keeps on ticking.
All right. Amen.
And again, happiness is the marathon runner. Excitement is the sprinter. The sprinters shoot out but get tired quick and can only go for a short period of time. But happiness is mature. And understand, happiness has endurance. To keep on going and keep on going. Energize the bunny, sit down, we done pass you up. And it keeps on going. Happiness.
See? Amen.
That's the difference.
Mr. Carl, would you say excitement is a reaction?
Excitement can be a reaction. I would actually agree with you when he says a reaction, because things make people excited, but happiness strictly stems from God in its purest form. Happiness God. Hence, a lot of people don't have it, because until you encounter God, we will never know what happiness is all about. People can tell you, Steve Harvey can tell you, he done told you, act like a woman, think like a man. See, he made you excited, but watch this. Why doesn't that work for every relationship in the world? I'm going to tell you what do work for every relationship in the world. It's called the Bible. See, Steve Harvey, act like a woman, think like a man. See, that made people excited. That means it was reactionary. But see, that was a temporary form of happiness. But see, that was a sprinter. But the marathon runner was created before. See, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So why would you think like something without becoming it? God dog it.
Because
he told you to act like a woman, think like a man. God never told you to think like a man. He said, think like Jesus. But Mr. Carr, that's a man. But see, that's on a whole different level. I'm talking about, see, the Bible says he's the breasted one, meaning he's both man and woman. You got to catch it. Read your Bible. My goodness. So, if you want true happiness, stop letting filth. Stop letting filth go on. See, a lot of people are going to get mad because he calling Steve Harvey stuff filth. Well, you tell me where it lined up with the Word of God. I know you like Steve, but put your happiness to the side of Steve, and let's get to the truth of the matter. Because when you standing before God, are you going to say, God, Steve told me, and let's see how far Steve told you, how far they go?
Exactly.
Yes.
Have the same energy. Now, remember, he said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Have the same energy before God in heaven that you have now. So if you're going to listen to Steve now, make sure you listen to Steve in heaven, yeah? In judgment day.
Amen.
Oh, boy, people done got quiet. I don't want that type of happiness. Exactly. So excitement is temporary. Happiness is forever and ever and evermore when it's pure. All right. What we got, Mr. DJ? Miss Tiana.
Sure. We got one more question that just came in.
Okay.
Let's get it here on the board. And it says, is there any way that I can encourage my coworker to count it all joy in the midst of her trials right now when she isn't saved and is married to someone who does not believe in God?
Well, it sounds like she got some other issues that need to be ironed out first. If she's not saved and she's with someone that's not saved, I mean, that's if she's with someone that's not saved, you're just saying she, that means that brother is leading her further away from God. So, I mean, you know, there's some other things that are going on that she has to get right with God first and then seek that happiness. Right now, she's probably happy being with that person. Well, that's why she was with that person in the first place. I mean, you can't give up on her, but at the same time, you need to do more than just show her happiness. We need to talk about some things soul searching and bringing her closer to God first.
Mm-hmm.
Tiana, you would be amazed as to how many people are what I call miserable happy.
Come on,
Mr. DJ. On the surface, it appears that they're happy. But internally, mm-hmm. it's miserable. People say, I refuse to settle for less. Yet, we get in these relationships with people that we know not in God, and we okay with that because we're not totally in God. So now you got two people who are not totally sold out in God, but happiness requires full commitment. So full that God would take away the things that you desire temporary. He would take them away to show you that you're not all the way in me, so you will never be fully happy. In other words, if we are just limited to what God do it, doing the things that God do for you, what about the things that he stripped from you? What about the marriage that he stripped from you? What about the child that he took from you? What about the promotion that he didn't give you? See, now our happiness is contingent upon things and not God. So why do we get involved with these relationships and we know, number one, forget the other person right now, we're not in God, number one. So don't try and find happiness in the relationship. Why don't you bring happiness to the relationship? Stop looking for a man to make you happy. Stop looking for a woman to make you happy. Stop looking for kids to make you happy. Because when you have the kids outside of marriage, now we have these kids, and then we talking about, but ain't God good? No, you just wanted a child so bad, but then we talking about it's hard to raise a child. See, it never made you happy.
Yes. Yes.
I thank God for my kids every day. Never told you not to thank God for your kids, but did you do it decently and in order? So we provoke God's order by saying, I'm going to get a kid regardless of what God and when he want me to have them. I'm going to get them right now. I don't need the husband. Just go ahead and lay down with me so I can,
Wow.
I know. I know this will be the time where people get mad and hang up, but that's cool because I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. Miss Tiana, repeat that question.
Yes. Is there any way that I can encourage my coworker to count it all joy in the midst of her trials right now when she isn't saved and is married to someone who does not believe in God?
Number one, you can't encourage somebody to count it all joy or to be happy when they don't understand your language. In other words, I told you that happiness is an art form. In other words, if you don't have the skill set to discern the language of God, you can never, how can you encourage somebody to be happy when they know nothing of what you're talking about? You saying, hey, it's going to be all right. What you mean it's going to be all right? Look at what I face. Look at what I face. Look at what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm going through. I done gave God, I done sung, I done prayed, I done lived my life, changed. Yeah, but you ain't never change your default settings. You never actually change your default setting. In other words, your mind never changes. And see, there's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. In other words, how can you encourage somebody that God can't encourage is my question.
Amen.
How can you get to them and God can't get to them? Y'all want to hear something about being happy, Miss Tiana? Watch this.
Please.
Watch this, y'all. We're talking about how to be happy. Watch this. You do know that if you are really in a relationship with God, right? Y'all follow me? If I'm in a relationship with Miss Tiana, for anybody who don't like Tiana, evidently they can't like me.
Come on.
So, Mr. DJ, how you treat Tiana, you're going to have to treat me. Okay, cool. What I'm saying is, true happiness is this. If you, however you treat God, you got to treat me the same way. If you don't treat God like you treat me, in other words, if I let you slide with me, but I know you don't have a real relationship with God, how then am I in a relationship with him?
Yes.
DJ, let me say it again. How is it, in other words, if people run from God, why are they not running from you? Oh, you're the partner that allows somebody else in that's your partner that they run from. I don't know. No, I'm happy when my partner happy. So if I'm over here with God, the very way you treat God, you got to treat me because we are spitting image of one another. We're in a relationship, and nothing comes in between our relationship. Well, Mr. Carr, some people can talk to me, and they can't talk to God. Is that true? Is that right? So you mean to tell me you got the keys to what it takes for them to get to heaven. You don't have a heaven nor a hell. So in other words, you don't have a happy place nor a sad place to put them in. So God can't use them, but you can. Well, Mr. Carr, remember, God has used certain things, but did God use you, or did you overstep your boundaries?
That's the question.
I don't think you hear me. Did you overstep? You know how grandparents overstep their boundaries? The parent put the child on the knee, but the grandparents say, baby, get up. No, mom and daddy, we're going to have a problem. This is my house. No disrespect to you, but you better get back on your knees. I put them on their knees. They better stay on their knees. See how they go?
Yes,
so what we start to do, watch Mr. DJ, we start to override what Daddy God say.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In other words, don't you know that God would allow temporary discomfort to get people happy in the right way? Let me tell you.
Amen.
Do you not understand that God would allow temporary sadness to get your mind right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Do you not understand that God would allow temporary disappointment? See, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you're going to say, hold on. What is it that I need to hold on to, gravitate to, that I'll never be in this position again to where somebody can control my happiness? Oh, find God. My goodness. Read the question one more time. Stop at each sentence, Miss Tiana. Read it right, real quickly.
Is there any way that I can encourage my coworker to count it all joy?
Absolutely not, because she's not in God. How can you? All you can do is, the Bible said, if you lift God up, he will draw all people. We don't have the power to draw people. I know some people think they're bigger than God, but see, if God can, he said, if you lift me up, I will do the rest. Go ahead, Ms. Tiana.
Can I do this while she's in the midst of her trials right now, when she isn't saved and is married to someone who does not believe in God?
She in the midst of trials. She's not saved, so she don't see it as a trial. She see it as a lifestyle. She think that marriage is supposed to have those times where he beating up beside the head. And as a matter of fact, she think that marriage is saying that he might not be saved, but he'll get it together. Baby, who going to get this? What they say, baby? Baby, you. No, here's the thing. Y'all better get it right and get it right quick, because your soul is on the line. Your eternity is on the line. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. So therefore, in this case, you very well could be equally yoked. Neither one of you was in God. But see, it's like the blind leading the blind. So what kind of story? You see the error in what's going on in the marriage, and they're not happy. And typically, we always want the woman to be happy, but never the man. But even if we see it the other way, why aren't both of you happy in God? Y'all not happy in God, yet alone with yourselves. Go ahead, Ms.
That was the question, sir.
That's it. Okay, well, we answered it. There you go.
Well, yes.
Mr. Carr.
What you got, Mr. DJ?
How can you, Kelly's Carr, or anyone else?
Hold on, Mr. DJ. Don't be giving my full name like that. He just said, that's ain't Ms. Carr. I just messed with it. He just telling me, somebody looking for me, they're going to find me. Go ahead, though.
How can you tell someone that's in the boat to walk out to Jesus, and you not Jesus? They don't know who Jesus is. Don't even care who Jesus is. You know, when Christ called out to Peter, he had to know him. And I'm saying, the other men in the boat, if it's a man in the boat who ain't saved, how can Peter tell them people to come on? I did it. You can do it. Except through Christ. That's the only way. So who are you? As you said, you got to lift them up. You got to lift them up, and he'll do all that work in terms of bringing them. Yeah, so you can't do that, you know.
In other words, DJ is saying set the standard in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Lift them up. In other words, when you start living according to God's expectations, watch your happiness start to exude through your pores, through your soul, through your lifestyle. Watch people see happiness even when it rains on gloomy days, even when things not going, they're going to see your happiness, and they're going to want to know the God that you serve eventually. Consistency kills the cat. In other words, you need to exude true happiness by consistently living for God. In other words, Peter said, God, if there be you, command me. So God commanded him. Remember, the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. He called people, and Peter walked. So he was beginning. What happened is Peter's happiness was distracted because he started to take his eyes off the word of God. See, what happens is, even in this situation right here, keep your eyes on God. Now, the man may not be happy. Why don't you find happiness first and bring happiness into the relationship? Because evidently it was never in the relationship, because if it was there already, we should be able to go back to this person and say, I didn't find you in the club. I didn't find you in nobody else's bed. I didn't find you in a previous marriage. I found you in happiness, so we need to get back to that happy place. See how they go?
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
Oh, but when we didn't find people at happiness, what is our foundation?
Ain't that something?
It is. Right. Into all these little relationships, and we go on all these little dates, we be trying to find happiness. Who makes us happy? Won't you start, even in the natural, people know, date your daddy. And see, when you date your daddy will show you how a man is supposed to treat you. Until you date daddy God, you're not going to know what a real man of God is all about. As a matter of fact, we don't even care if we get a real man of God no more, right? We just want a man.
Mm.
Because as long as he provides, I'm happy. As long as he can give me the big rock, I'm happy. As long as he can buy, I'm happy. As long as he can protect, I'm happy. As long as he can be who I think he should be, I'm happy. But I thought God laughs at our desires. I thought that he laughs when we share our thoughts.
Yes.
True
yes,
happy.
Indeed.
If it's not deeply grown and sown in God, you'll never be happy. And this is why people always dating, and never marrying in God, because they never dated Daddy God first. Date Daddy God, both men and women, and then you'll know what it is to be happy. In other words, I was happy before you got with me. I'm going to be happy even if you leave. But see, you found me happy forever. I will be happy. It was never you that made me happy. See, you can complete this thing, but you can't make this thing happy because, oh my God, I was happy because I already got one part of the completion, which is God. If he never have another woman for you, if he had never had another man for you, you should always be happy, because it never should be contingent about what you want. It should be your happiness, your happiness, your happiness should be always solidified in what God wants you with.
That's right.
All right.
Tell us.
Let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Yes, bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you saying thank you, Father. Thank you for the sun, for the rain, and just for life, waking us up, Father. Thank you for everybody that's on the sound of my voice, for listening, and for our leading, Father. Thank you for the table that has been prepared before us. And, Father, help us to take it, let it manifest and grow, and keep us on the path so that we don't stray too far, Father. You said if we lift you up, if two or more gathered in your name, that you will draw all men, Father. And what we're going to do, Father, is continue down that road for not any praise or form, but to give all the credit and glory to you. In your name, we pray. Amen.
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 All right, y'all have a great night, and we'll see y'all next Monday, same time, okay? Make sure y'all get a chance to call into our Bible study every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 225-364-0211. You don't need a code. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.